right into this world all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own. A crow flies straight, a perfect line, on the devil's back until you die.
Hello and welcome to the Nattercast for this Halloween edition 2011 episode of Sons of Anarchy, episode 408, Family Recipe. I am Jason Shankle of Shankle Studios, and I'm here, as always, with my lovely wife.
Sion Shankle.
Sion Shankle of Shankle Studios. Very tired. And we had a rough week. We had a lot of work this week. And
long week.
Movies and stuff at work for me, and just all kinds of...
This is going to be a good cast, though.
Be kind of good.
Because I declare that this was the funniest episode in the entire series.
This was a great episode. I'm kind of feel good about our energy being down, because when it's going to come up, just talking about this fucking radical piece of television that we saw. Just unbelievably good
time.
That was
just a hoot.
Before I get into that, here, let's give you the contact information. You can hear us on the iTunes under Nattercast. If you go there and rate and write a review, we will be glad that you did. And you can catch us on our RSS feed over at nattercast.blogspot.com. You can find us on Facebook. And we always look forward to listener mail. It's our favorite part of the week at nattercast@gmail.com. And without further ado, let's just jump right into Family Recipe. So, first things first, you know, there was lots of consternation on the net. There was lots of people rewinding, like the Zapruder film, the last few seconds of last week's episode to see if they could get any clues as to Juice. And he's a regular Frodo Baggins, that Juice lives.
Yeah, that was great.
We like that Juice lived.
Yeah.
Very much. I mean, he's still in a lot of...
He's such a cutie pie.
He's a cutie pie. He's under a lot of pressure still. There's a lot of stuff going on, you know. But I think things might be flying apart fast enough that he might be able to get some cover at this point.
His problem now became very tiny compared to everybody else.
Compared to everything else going on, being black has got to be the lowest possible
thing.
And he
still has his head.
He still has his head. And I guess if law enforcement gets wind of this coke, they could maybe bring it back to him. But at this point, Juice would just lay low, shut the fuck up to the cops. And just maybe get out of the club, you know, go to another Sam something. But so yay for Juice. Juice lives. That's a wonderful thing. And then, you know, we have Hatidopi and Jax discussing the vote that's coming up. That's the next big cliffhanger from last week. Was how are we going to vote? And I thought that this, Kurt, you know, respect and love, this was some weak tea that you served us on this vote, baby. That was some bullshit, Kurt. You gave us the two votes that we knew for sure we could count on. Clay voting for himself and Tig voting with Clay. Before we get...
Keep that suspense going.
The big machine gun rolling in vehicle thing. And you knew, I know you knew that
would tease us.
Yeah, you knew that you had to, if you were going to stop that vote, it had to be something better than the vote.
Yeah.
We couldn't be sitting there looking at another porn star, you know, tampon fight in the parking lot over who slept with whose boyfriend. I mean, this is like fucking Glee at this point with, like, you know, beaver shots and shit. No, you couldn't do that. You have to go up from porn star fight. And so you went to Bag of Heads.
Full on war.
Full on Bag of Heads. This was written by Dave Erickson and Brad Dahl, who I suppose are the Sutter family's go-to guys.
When it needs to get really crazy.
For the real crazy.
Good.
And directed by Paul Maybaum.
Very good job.
These are names to remember. Very good job.
On everyone's part.
Because I started off like, no, okay, there's going to be, what is this, Hurricane Roosevelt? Somebody's coming in. There's going to be a fire, some kind of fake forestry alert that we have to deal with.
Forestry alert.
You know, who knows
what
kind of abuse of the civil law system that's going to happen. But no, cartel, Bag of Heads. And then Chucky.
Chucky. Priceless.
Finds the
My
head.
Favorite part, actually, wasn't the... Well, we're kind of jumping ahead here a little bit, but wasn't the cooking of the head. It was just his completely... How put out he was that there was another one.
More heads in my parking lot. I thought I got rid of these things.
Oh, really?
oh, come on, guys. Another severed head.
Like it was just this mild annoyance mess. Like somebody left a dirty sandwich out there or something.
Oh, really?
I was just kidding.
Somebody dumped the urinal cakes in the parking lot again?
Yeah, exactly.
You guys, there's codes against this. You're all on parole. You can't do that. Yeah, no, totally.
Because he's been dealing with heads for so long.
He's got the head.
He's just over it.
And I like, too, because they had to do this for TV. That looked like a basketball.
It was, it was a very lightweight little head.
Very lightweight little head that you can toss around. Not drippy, not rotted, not destroyed or
no
infected.
Bruises.
Or anything like that. Just completely smooth, almost like a mannequin head.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that they actually checked if they were real heads or not. Oh, these could be mannequin heads. I don't know. Anyway, they must have been
laughing so hard during those scenes when they were making them.
Well, then Rosie rolls in, you know, and Jax decides, Severed, we just got rid of a bag of heads. I'm going to chest war with the local law on my property after people come buzzing in hearing the machine guns. And the Gemma says, you wouldn't go, I'm giving you this one. Who did Gemma blame the machine gun noise?
Oh my God, this was priceless. This is a total callback to a previous show that a lot of these people worked on, The Shield. Armenians.
The Armenians. So at
they're
times,
very, very unstable.
At
bunch.
Times when the Shield would go a little bit awry of believability.
The Armenian money train, that whole story arc.
There's
was,
a whole story arc with an Armenian
crazy,
money train.
It was crazy. And so it's really fun that they referenced it.
But I loved that season out because we watched it with the same joy of like, really?
Really?
Hijacking a train?
Yeah, it was like when we were watching
LAPD.
That, anytime anything was kind of clusterfucky in the world, yeah. You'd be, oh, it's an Armenian
it's
money
Armenian,
train.
So Armenian money train,
it,
I have to
and
say,
it's
has
made
become,
it into our nomenclature.
When we were watching The Shield, I had this thing where it's like, oh, now all Vic Mackey has to do is hijack the space shuttle and everything will be fine. You know, so Armenian money train represents that for me, this definite metaphor of like, all we have to do is hijack the Armenian money train and we'll be fine. So that she blamed it on the Armenians. I wonder if it's the same Armenians. I wonder if they money train their way up to Charming to retire and work on cars.
Very unstable people.
Very unstable people.
Kirk, so Chucky, please tell us what your issue is.
Chucky
with
takes the head into the bag. So Jax decides to pick a fight with a cop on his property. You know, not really pick a fight, but like macho fight with him. It's like, you know, you want this guy to go away. You've got severed heads in the bag. You want him to kind of just take your story and go. But no. So he locks the place down and Chucky's in the back with the chili head. Chili.
Yeah, we were singing the Chia Pet song.
Chucky.
Chucky, Chucky, Chili.
It's Chucky Chili Head. Who would like a slice of Chucky Chili Head?
Watch out, you're going to get one for Christmas.
I totally want a Chili Head.
I know you do.
I want Chucky Chili.
It was like when I showed up at Valentine's, what was it, last year? The year? No, I think it was last year with the Snuggie.
Oh, the Snuggie was last year, yes.
<Valentine's>
the what
present.
The fuck blanket. Blanket with sleeves.
It's easy. You can easily.
And it's not even a very warm blanket.
Ice cream off of it.
It's not a warm blanket even.
It's not bad.
You could put a jacket on. Probably be just
but
as comfortable.
But it smelled like formaldehyde.
Yeah, it really smelled like it had been like processed. You know, so just really disinfected.
We gotta invent something like that. That was so the Pet Rock.
Yeah, that was.
Snuggie is the Snuggie. Pet Rock. But anyway, let's get
anyway,
back
so
to
Chucky
this.
Chili Head, and he's got the head in the chili, and I have this, and then there are cops there, and they're like locking down and looking for problems. They're looking for weapons. They're looking for which they figure, haha, this time the Suns didn't
they're
have any
for
weapons.
Anything and everything, and they're, just an opportunity to
well,
fuck
they,
with the Suns.
But they heard gunfire, yes, so they have reason yes. to suspect that there are weapons, and so they leave these two cops there. Now back, and I've been watching, like I said, the old episodes. I think it was back in the first season. They had two sheriffs. Who were having to watch Teller Morrow, by which they meant like stay right there, like right out in front. And they kept going in for more coffee. So they slipped him a Mickey and down they went. And you would think they would become part of the briefing of like watching Teller Morrow Motors that you do not consume any food that you didn't bring yourself. You can pack a fucking lunch, Officer Klupski. You do not need a bowl of Chucky's special chili.
Chucky Cheese.
Because.
Chili. Yeah.
Human brain tissue is probably that's probably your A scenario. That's probably what you're hoping is in there. Just something that's just disgusting.
Oh.
Not disgusting and poisonous and going to knock you out and you're going to wake up.
Well, you figured the boogers too in the sinus cavity.
Yeah, but you know, these guys, it's like you could have woken up in a gimp outfit if you ate a bowl of that chili. You have no idea what's going to happen. Look what they did to Tom Arnold.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. If they'll do that to Tom, they'll do that to you. So we love Chuck E. Cheese Head and we love heads. And the other thing I was thinking about is like, the poetry of this particular episode, but that they played this for a lot of humor, and the cartels really do this.
I know
they really we get bag of head stories all the time.
I was just listening to NPR, and you know. This guy, I think it's called Narco, with this new book that just came out, and he's an investigative journalist who's been in Mexico and doing the just last week it just came out. I wanted to get it because it's just becoming a big topic. He's seen and photographed mass graves and the headless and the whole buses of people that are just, you know, completely eradicated. But basically says that they're looking at 40,000 deaths.
Yeah.
That it's just a mess in Mexico.
It's like a nascent country that's forming. It's like a civil war going on.
Oh, it's really nasty. And they have no dogma, no allegiance. It's just all about just their business.
Pure psychotic business.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I want to get that book. I thought that sounded interesting.
Well, at least they're businessmen.
Yeah.
You can deal with businessmen. I mean, psychotic fanatics who, you know, fly planes into stuff they can't be reasoned with. Maybe the cartels could be from a position of strength, but sons don't have it.
Yeah. Did you also see that the hacker group Anonymous?
They've been going after the cartels.
Going after the cartels. Oh.
Yeah. The little college boys better look out.
I just sent that email to you. Was it yesterday or today?
I saw about it yesterday.
I was on the iPhone on the set. But so this hacker group Anonymous that's been causing a lot of mayhem and the men of mayhem here in San Francisco, even it shut down BART, and they're anarchists.
Yeah.
They're really into freedom of information, freedom of the internet, and they're quite sophisticated. They're doing stuff around the world. Well, now their latest target is the cartels.
Yeah.
And they're probably the only ones that have any power over the cartels.
I don't know.
They're going to release, if the cartels don't, I can't remember what the demand was for.
I don't know, how can the cartels submit?
But they were going to release all, a bunch of names, addresses, pictures of people.
Of cartel people.
Of cartel people.
Okay, we'll see if that works out. Yeah, I mean, because yeah, I was doing a little reading myself.
The which cartels, I just think is interesting because here's the Sons of Anarchy. And here are real anarchists.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're now instigating a war with the cartels in real time.
Yeah. Well, evidently, like from the, you know, just a little bit, I've just been doing a little reading too, because all these shows now are doing cartels. It's like the communists.
Yeah, it's the latest boogeyman. Right?
It's like the latest boogeyman. Well, it's better than Al Qaeda, I think, as a boogeyman, which is still a pretty good boogeyman.
Yeah.
But like you watch 24 and stuff like that.
It's kind of boring
because these guys, they don't have a philosophy. They're just religious crazy. Cartel guys are business guys. It's more like The Godfather.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of reasoning going on and deal making and such. And they said that they call them the Falcones or something. They're the lowest level guys in the cartel. And they're the ones who basically just route information. They don't deal drugs and they don't carry weapons. They just keep a lookout. And I think those would be the names to release. It's like these are like block commander types. These are just, you know, they have a relatively low level of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's like, I think everybody knows who the
bigger people are.
Well, I used to go to Tijuana every now and again, and they do have these.
Jason and his Tijuana stories.
Well, this is years ago, but before they got arrested, they had the Felix Arellano brothers, right? And you're going into Tijuana, and the feds have, and the federales on both sides, have posters of them up, literally, or not anymore, but back then, literally every 10 feet. It's like, I saw the last poster. I think I'm going to, and it's also these really, like, hazy, you know, like Bigfoot photo looking guy.
Well, I think it's very interesting because, it's as like you pointed out, those guys in are. Tijuana no is basically secret. The American drug industry is pumping
that's
cheap
the
meds
cartel
down
Pfizer's,
there.
You know.
Yeah, it's totally. Like, but it's interesting that they're like having all those posters every 10 feet. Oh, we're not the real.
This is Bag of Heads guy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But it's not like Bag of Heads guy wasn't protecting them, you know.
Right.
So anyway, we loved Bag of Heads. And they find Armando, you know, in there, which is the guy who was missing, who they're like looking for, is supposed to be part of the whole Sam Crow, Sam Taz thing. And so Gemma says, Clay says, we got it handled. He tries to do his Eastwood on Gemma, and she's having none of it.
Really?
Like, really? It's handled. bag of heads.
No, and she said it with such great disdain. It was awesome.
Because at a certain point, I mean, because the IRA are some serious people, but they'll just disappear you. You don't come back as a bag of heads, you know. So, you know, you can always make up a story about what happened, you know. And then, so, like, there's Piney. Piney comes up and says goodbye to his son, sort of, you know. We know that, you know, Piney doesn't make it through this episode. And he goes up to the Piney Lodge, which is a great little lodge. He brings his bottles of tequila and his Stephen King books.
It's a gorgeous little lodge.
He's up there. He's listening to his honky tonk music. He's reading his Stephen King novels.
Stephen King novels is a nice touch.
And he's drinking his tequila, even though there's like cartel stuff going to happen. And it's like, you know, yeah.
Well, he's given that ultimatum.
He's given the ultimatum.
That was a big thing that I think we should talk about. He gave
the ultimatum.
The fact that there is an ultimatum on the table.
And he's made it clear to Clay, if I die, there's going to be contingencies. And exactly. Clay assumes it's Tara, so Tara had better beat feet because the clock is ticking on this Piney fix. He tries to pin it on the cartels, and so maybe that's going to hold, but it really doesn't look like a cartel kill. And why would they come after Piney? And also, we know that Piney's having a problem with Clay.
Yes.
You know, it just seems like this fix is not going to stick.
Well, it looked like Gemma was on to him a little bit. Like, oh, yeah, you're going to hang out in the chapel. Really? I'm staring at it.
Oh, right.
And that's interesting because our friend here...
good old Robert.
Robert.
Our wonderful listener.
Yeah. And Bobby and Axe Jax, all these his various monikers. I just had a brain fart. This is what I get.
Well, you're going to read the listener mail from good old Robert.
Oh, okay. I'll just read it.
Yeah, just go ahead and read it.
Hey there, fellow Suns fans. I may have touched base, but I had a kind of big computer crash. I'm an Apple fanboy. Oh, by the way, I'm an Apple fangirl.
We're all Apple fans.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're kind of both.
I'm bidextrous.
By what?
Bidextrous.
Bidextrous.
Ambidextrous. I use Windows and Mac. On a boot
camp
system.
Are there two dicks that I don't know about?
I'm bidextrous. Ambidextrous.
Oh, okay. I just had a horrible visual about your pants.
Don't make me hammer on the sugar walls.
Oh, Jason, don't go there. That's just an inside joke between us that came out the other night when we were watching a movie, and I just was completely grossed out by it. Hard to imagine me being grossed out by that.
Well, it was literally just hammers.
Sugar ball.
Anyway, if I can finish up with Robert here, we need to. This
I quit giggling.
This
I'm like super, super tired. I've just spent 3 14-hour days making movies. I'm just completely blotto. So anyways, he says, he has heartbreaks with the new OS Lion, which I haven't tried yet.
Yeah.
And I split 2 Harley Ratchet top transmissions years ago in 2 very separate crashes. So it's just really the same kind of run, tar, run, far, fast, far, far away, Roosevelt.
That's right, yeah.
Don't know whether to poop or go blind. And hope he has the anti-kryptonite hat on.
He does.
But he's going to flip, he thinks. Gemma knows about Pine Sol.
Pine Sol.
Clever Clay.
Up
tricks
the
no
lodge.
One with phone tag. That's true. Well said. You pointed it out. But in the previous, one of the things that I forgot to mention in the previous email from the last cast
From Robert,
he talks about how, you know, look at that really shitty door. Like, they still haven't fixed the door.
Yeah.
And I had noticed that too. And
yeah, they know a
and now they reference it again. Yeah. It's like over and over again that door is being referenced.
Well,
it's starting to become very symbolic.
Hale is using all the contractors.
I'm starting to think it's like an open wound to prove that anybody could come in and take over. Like, leadership is it's a
right.
symbol.
It's a breach of the door.
It's the door, it's nothing is sacred because the chapel door is still missing. And
that's right.
And it's not like they couldn't fix that.
No, it's definitely symbolic. You know?
Yeah. especially going on.
But I can imagine they could fix it, but I'd have Prospect work on it a little bit or something.
Well, the Prospects are all busy guarding all the women.
And the drugs and the women. And yet you left Prospect with Tara. This is a half measure.
And can you guys get some like really interesting...
No half measures,
Walter. These Prospects all look like they work with you, Jason.
You don't lead Prospect.
They all look like they know C++.
They look like me. Yeah, no. Chubby Prospect looks totally like me. I look like... He looks like time-traveling Bobby. He looks like Bobby younger.
Well, all the Prospects are completely lame, like little computer geeks.
Lame? Please. We're very macho. We can obviously be trusted with 30 kilos of Colombian cocaine. Now, if you would like to give me the weapons, I will give you half of the money now and half when you deliver the cocaine.
Stop it. I have to finish this letter.
All right.
Okay. So, and I'm a boy, Juice. He likes our nickname for him.
Oh, man.
My sad...
And my mother.
Pagliacci is the pure opera tragic heartbreak. And now Chibs has had enough. Cap this with Pine Sol and Cartel. It can't get any more fun. But wait! The Land Scam. Roll film. Silent pre-talkie in black and white. Piano. Dastardly land baron ranching. Stealing land for the railroad. Or direct TV. Oops. This guy's really smart. Condos or whatever Hale is up to. Hoo-ha. Can you do a hoo-ha?
Hoo-ha.
Yeah, there you go. What's his face?
No, we just watched this last night, The Trip. There's only so much Pacino that you can see in a night. You're like watching Steve Coogan. It's like, oh, another dinner scene. More.
Well, they're going on this trip.
I know they're going on this trip. It was good, but after a while, it was like, oh, I see. And now we're going to be doing dueling impersonations at each other again. I think we could have whittled this down to 45 minutes.
Can't wait. I got one of my buddies to listen to his first podcast. Yep, you guessed it. Nattercast. Woohoo!
Woohoo! Yay, more fans.
So hi to El Rojo.
El Rojo.
Welcome.
Bienvenidos a El Rojo. So
if you're finding it a little hard to follow us, just smoke a big doobie.
And just watch the show.
And everything will just become real.
In a cloud of smoke. It'll become crystal clear.
Thanks for the American Horror Story. It's great. Kind of sad about Dexter, though. Sorry for the ramble, blah, blah, blah. Well, Dexter has gotten better.
We're back to the regular Dexter.
I don't know what those first two episodes, what planet they were from. We're enjoying it, but I don't know if we're going to cast. It just doesn't seem to be as rich as
We want to focus on Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And then we're thinking about Game of Thrones and Borgias.
I love Borgias.
Borgias and Game of Thrones, I love them both.
Well, and Borgias and Game of Thrones, I think we should cast together because they're so similar in some
ways. Well, then we have the first seasons of both, and so we can go back and do those ones, you know. So I think our play is a little bit full,
you know. Clearly.
I don't know if anybody else is casting the Borgias. Who casts the Borgias?
I don't know. We went to Italy a year and a half ago, and it's just, I mean, it's a fascinating place.
Well, I'm loving the people doing the cast of the show. I love the Breaking Good guys and the Watchers and everything, and I want to see what weird, fucked up, creepy people are doing the Borgias.
That would be me, honey.
Yeah, that's going to be us. I think I want to be as extreme as possible.
I'm your twisted wife who wants to do the Borgias. Last year
to Florence and Rome and see all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I was thinking we could throw in some... I have some friends who like Game of Thrones big time, so we can bring them in on the cast, and as you do too, because you're king of nerds.
Yes, but king of nerds.
Well, Jason also writes movie reviews for io9.com.
io9.com.
So if you,
I do the retro movie review. I just did a review for a movie called, alternatively, either Encounter or Incident at Raven's Gate, and I call it Encounterdent. At Raven's Gate, and it's pretty much Australian for signs, mate. the M. Night Shyamalan movie Signs.
Yeah.
And so this came out in 1988, and it's pretty much exactly the same story, and it suffers from the same issues. Not so much Mel Gibson, that's gladly not in there, but like the aliens. You take the aliens out of the movie, and it's better. Anyway, but io9, yeah, check me out.
Yeah, I do the retro movie reviews, and there's a comment section too. There's some really interesting.
Please come on in. We can always use more.
Yeah, and what's your next assignment? You just got a really fun
I am going to be doing a very choice assignment. I'm going to be doing the top 10 things that make Farscape awesome.
Yes, top Jason 10 Farscape really episodes. Likes Farscape.
Yes, I do. Jim Henson puppet space alien you know, just awesome. It's really awesome, and John Crichton's awesome, and it's just going to be an awesome series.
It's okay. It's a little.
It's not your cup of tea. It is not your cup of tea.
It's not my cup of tea.
No.
So, lots of stuff going on.
Okay, it's coming back. So we did just did the Armenians. We just did Chili Head. Okay, then we have Jax's plan for. So they capture one of the.
Did you catch that? There's a couple of notes I put down here. Did you catch that Tara has my stove?
Yes. She has the Sears stove.
Yeah, which I'm, about ready to get rid of.
Sears is where Sam Crow
shops. And turn it in for one very similar. The club has a much nicer stove than Tara does.
Well, Chucky knows his chili.
He just sees little details.
You can't cook Chucky Chili Head on some little store.
Did you also notice at the beginning
when
she answers the door for Roosevelt and he shows her the... this was just like...
It shows her the note from
Thomas hides his face.
Unser had gotten that note. And
that
Thomas
was so cute.
Was like, oh, can't look. Yes,
can't look.
Totally
the bad man is here.
Oh, the bad man is here.
Or Gemma calls him later, Chocolate Rain.
No, that's Clay. Says,
was it Clay? Chocolate Rain.
And he takes off his cut because he can't get caught in his cut.
Right.
Right. He's like, oh, Chocolate Rain.
Even in his own house.
I'm still calling him Hurricane Roosevelt. He blows in and just starts knocking things over, And then, they captured this cartel guy, and then Aceveda comes in. Luis Torres comes in.
Back to the shield.
And shoots him up with the sodium pentothals. And the guy gives him, they don't show it, but it's like, there's this thing with, sodium pentothal.
He's tripping.
You'll just start
tripping
giving
balls.
Away all this information. And it's like, you'll also start giving away lots of stuff you're making up. It's not a very reliable truth serum.
But what was interesting, though, because
in that
scene, we established that this Luis Torres, is very much a mercenary, or he's very skilled, because he has the sodium pentothal and knows how to administer it.
And he knows that to be prepared with it.
And he also talks about, and they're like, well, we're not, a militia or whatever.
He says, oh, Jackson,
like,
we're not an infantry.
Infantry, right. You're going to be. And you see how happy he looks when everybody's suiting up. And,
right.
And it's just like going, this guy is...
Well, there's this whole thing about those guys who were CIA trained.
He's like a warlord.
Well, Torres is like... These guys, he and Parada are both soldiers. We've been over that. And then there were... I kind of get this...
But you're starting to think that he might be the mole.
I think he might be the mole just because he killed the other informant.
Uh-huh.
As soon as you see one guy... You see somebody kill the other informant who you might want to keep alive to get more information out of him. That looked like a silencing and not a revenging to me.
Right.
Right. Because you're going to kill him anyway, so why not keep him around a little longer and figure out, what you can get out of him. But although, I guess, shoot him. I guess the pentothal, he got everything, is the story. And he also kind of has this read to me, although he's probably a little young for it, for these guys the CIA used to train in Central America. There was that whole, Contra period, and lots of torture and things like that. And they were very... They had these manuals, that we've discovered that are very systematic about how you torture somebody to get information out of them, and it's usually false confession stuff. You're not looking for information. You're looking for to break someone's will and to humiliate them. But anyway, Aceveda, I'm watching him. I like to call him Aceveda. He just sounds better. So they're going to kill this guy. Jax has this big plan. He's like, why don't we lure all the bad guys here with the guns? And then why don't we get into a shootout with the cartels? That is the plan. That is Jax's A plan. That's scenario A. The cartel will show up and we'll have a machine gun fight. And later on he's telling Tara, oh, I would never let them hurt our children. I've let all this other stuff happen.
Yeah, it's like,
bag of heads,
dude,
I let happen.
They're already in jeopardy. And
well, he makes it sound like he's got all this control.
Oh, I'll just stop at any moment.
Oh, I would never let it get to the kids. Bag of heads near the kids. Yeah, Hey, baby, I got to take care of business. What can I do around here? But I would never let it get
there. Yeah, it was interesting disconnect.
Yeah, but then he says, you have to leave, to her. And she says, I have to leave. And he goes, I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, so of course, then the cartels show up. There is no machine gun fight. Just one or two guys who disappear. And then they open up this truck. And it's full of the bodies that match the heads. So now they have a match set. And it's like, this is, I think, the point for Jax where he realizes... Because then he had this confrontation with Piney, right, up at the Piney Lodge.
Right.
He goes up to check him out for Opie. And, you know, it seemed to me, it was a little bit strange. It seemed to me, so like Piney kind of seems, again, like to go with Shakespeare, he seems kind of like a Polonius character, like this older advisor guy with some, you know, some fairly strong
opinions. Think, I mean, he didn't give up, he sort of took the scent possibly off the Tara track.
Right.
And he didn't give away anything. And yeah, he really, he felt like he was throwing himself in front of the club, like saving the club, like the Secret Service does for the president.
Who, Piney?
Yeah.
Well, maybe, but just I'm just talking about the conversation with Jax, where Jax comes in. He's like, I'm doing this just for me. And JT just left us.
Right,
and
he didn't, that whole
and it's like speech. We're going over this other stuff some more.
Yeah.
And then it felt to me like a little bit, knowing that Piney's, you know, he's going to get shot, you know, he basically comes back at him at Jax with this stuff that he's probably been hearing his whole life. And this is not unrealistic, but it's more like this conversation was not incredibly satisfying. This is Jax saying, I have to defend my own life and my family. I can't be thinking about all this club and what our ideals are at this point. We're way past that. We're at cartels and getting out. We are not at make it JT's magic bus ride. You know, I also have a little, it's interesting that Piney's got so much attachment to JT when he really seems like a sort of an old school conservative guy. He's racist. He has all these things. And I think of JT as this kind of hippie wannabe free spirit, and Piney's really attached to him. He's got the hemp marijuana flag up. And I just wonder if Piney had like, if he became a little more hardened in his old.
Well, remember he said he had lost interest in the club for 10 years.
Right. Yeah. So maybe he had been in a different mindset for a while or something. Cause he seems much more edgy and hardcore now, and not very, he's not a laid back guy, he's not mellow, you know, he needs the tequila for that up in the lodge. So so there's that, and then there's also the fundraiser, you know, and so we watched the episode twice, and I was thinking, like, what is Clay's actual play here with the fundraiser? You know, it's like, where are the angles for him in this? It is a little bit of public cover. It is getting like the community on your side.
Well, it's like he became a lobbyist.
A little bit, yeah. He's donated all this into money.
Political power.
He wants the people of Charming to be on his side because he's dealing with this incredibly dangerous business, so he can't be disappearing whenever there's a problem. But you know, I think it was also to promote Elliot. I think Clay sees Elliot as the way he, Clay, is going to wield power in the world after he's out of the bike club.
Or aren't there some dead bodies on his land?
Yeah, well, not just that, but the sons killed the man who raped his daughter in the first season. So Elliot's really in, you know, he's in deep with them. He's financially got nothing except, you know, because he's got to have this, he's got to have Hale's deal go through. So Clay wants his support. And so he needs to break up Elliot and Hale, Elliot and Mayor McCheese. And the way he's doing it is offering him the land and also promoting him as mayor at this big event. Here's $75,000. There's your next mayor. And I think that's very much a power play on Clay's part to stay politically connected and to get the mayorship back into his pocket. You know. So let's see, there's that. And then in this episode we had Shouty Jax quite a bit. Did you notice that? It's like people are right there in the room discussing things, and then Jax he'll have a normal line reading, and then he'll just start shouting. like you're not standing right in front of him. You know, it's like, I know what you know. It's like, okay, Jax, we're all right here. We all saw the bag of heads. Everyone's on the same page with getting out with the cartels. Clay's not, but you're working with him. You know, so what are you yelling at me for? If I was Piney, I'd be like, what are you yelling at me for? You're the one who's supporting the guy who put you in all this danger, who's making things impossible. You know, back when it was just guns, we could do a little bit better. And then we have Chibs and Juice, right? So Juice has got this chain that, you know, he's got to go and dispose of. I guess otherwise people will know what he was up to because there's a chain wrapped around a thing, you know? I guess, okay. So he's got to hide that evidence, like, right now. People are going to be doing chain inspections very soon. You know, like, before morning. He doesn't think to, like, go out when there's, like, nobody around or whatever. And Chibs come up on him, and this is our misheard Chibs of the week. Okay, and this goes a little bit beyond palm oil of cotton shirt, because I kind of knew what that meant, you know, pull him off this cartel shit. But when Chibs, so he figures out that Juice tried to kill himself, and he wrestles him, and he screams, you know, what the hell are you doing? And at first, you thought you heard him say, you're colored.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought I heard him say, you punk. And then we
watched it again and again tonight, and...
And we're getting co-op? Kochuk.
Korlar?
Kochuk?
Or Canuck?
You're Canuck. He's Canadian. Canuck, yeah. He finds out they're Canadian.
And that's just awful.
No, because Sons of Anarchy are not Canadians. It's something. So Chips is, either discovered something or just said, "What are you up to, you crazy Canuck," or something. And we're not quite sure what he said. But at first we thought that he figured out that it was a racial issue, and now we're not so sure. Let's see. Do I have anything else here? So I had one little notice, is this a parallel, and are we going to see some more of this kind of thing work its way out? So Jax makes this whole speech to Piney as part of his speech. He says, you know, I thought I could be the one guy who will change everything, right?
Mm.
But that arrogance is what destroyed my father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is very Luke Skywalker.
Thinking he's a messiah.
Right, so this is very... Anakin Skywalker thought he could change everything, and that's what turned him into Darth Vader, right? That's what's going on here, is that he's... You know, he said that JT thought he could change everything, and that arrigance is what destroyed him. Now, I understand...
Oops, we got...
Ooh, this, Halloween, it's Halloween, drama. So we have a little yelling.
Life in the big city.
And some yelling.
People shouting into costumes. Yeah, they're all
welcome to Halloween
out there
in San Francisco. Anyway, so... No, but here's the thing that I thought. First of all, it's one thing if you were saying, if it was the whole town, or if you're running for president, one man can't change everything, you know, you need a team or this or that. We're talking about a motorcycle club with, what, 8 or 9 voting members? I think one guy could change it. I like to keep hope alive that one guy could maybe change an organization that could barely put together a bowling team. You know, it's not that huge, Jax. But he said it's arrogance, right? And then we come to the Roosevelts, and Mrs. Roosevelt is talking to her husband at the garden benefit, and she says, you know, I forget what she said, but she basically said, I was arrogant. It was hubris or something like that. For me to think I could pull this off, even though it's flooding with people, you know.
Is that a band out front?
There's a band playing out front, yeah.
A little extra action on the podcast today.
But no, I just noticed that thematically we have Mrs. Roosevelt criticizing herself for arrogance, mm-hmm. and overreach and trying to change something on her mm-hmm. own.
This is
right after Jax
now.
Did. And so I wonder if we'll see like a similar Jax arc out of mm-hmm. her, where she, I don't know what the arc is because I don't know what Jax's is, but where, you know, like, you know, that this is a theme of like one person thinking they can make this much of a difference
mm-hmm.
when there's so much corruption around and so many mm-hmm. problems. You know, so yeah, that's about all I got. That's a great episode.
Well,
you have
I have
some more stuff?
A couple of more things.
Yeah, let's hear.
I am really curious, and I would encourage listeners to let us know who you think the rat in the Mayans is.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it Louise, or who else?
Well, no, Louise is in the cartel, so you wouldn't know the Mayans. But is it Louise or is it another Mayan? Yeah.
And a couple of little cute things. I loved it. There was a couple of fun Tig moments. I'm on Tig watch.
Oh, the purse.
Well, yes. Okay. But Clay says, this is the only man I trust. You know, trust completely to take care of my woman.
My woman,
Gemma,
right.
Yeah. And I thought that was interesting, seeing as that a few seasons ago, they had a little makeout session.
Yeah, and Tig is the biggest pervert in the club.
Yeah, I don't know if Tig was my first choice.
Yeah. I trust Bobby, except for he's actually...
And then when he goes off later after that little phone thing, when he goes off later, Gemma's like, okay, come on, let's go. You know, take me home. And he slings Gemma's purse over his shoulder, this big bag.
He one shoulders it.
And also, yesterday when I was on this little movie set thing that I was working on as the art director, one of our actors recently worked, we tried to look it up and we couldn't find the name very quickly tonight, but worked with the actress on another project who was the woman who played...
Played Hal Holbrook's...
The woman who owned the bathrobe that Tig was wearing.
Tig was wearing Hal Holbrook's living nurse.
And she said that of all of her acting gigs she's ever done, that this is the most, this is a compliment to Sutter, that this is the most friendly really nice, really professional, just a really good time group of people that she will turn down other jobs to get back on.
And
that.
She was taped to a chair.
Yeah, it wasn't easy. She had to like cowboy ride Tig.
I forget. She had a cowboy ride Tig, and then, I think she was like a stunt woman.
Yeah.
And then she either was taped to the chair, or was taped.
But this actor James that we're working with, he said that that he loves Sons of Anarchy so much that he's like. He that's one of his big quests now is to get a little role on there.
To get a little role on there. Yeah. Well, we'd like to, what was his name? It's James.
I think it's James Cotton. And he's a musician, but there's another James Cotton musician as well.
Well, if you're listening.
So I have to see if I got the spelling.
Out there, Kurt, James Cotton, working with Scary Cow Productions in San Francisco, California.
I got to look that up to get
Let's get him a little walk on, a little ride on, a little swing in, a little something.
He's really good. He had me scared on the set. It was great.
Yeah,
I was kind of bored for a while, blah, blah, blah. And then they started doing this really menacing scene. He was wielding a baseball bat. It was great. And I was just like, oh, this guy is really... And he tells great stories. He's a fun guy to work with.
Cool.
He's worked with Stones. He's a studio musician.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And we love the Rolling Stones. Great. I think that's it.
Is that it? Yeah,
I need to go to bed.
We're a little zoned out this week, but we really enjoyed it.
But tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night's the next episode. We wanted to get this one under the wire because we didn't want to have seen anything, you know. And
this was the funniest episode.
This was the best episode. Ever. Bag of heads, baby.
Bag of heads. I love it.
And cha-cha-cha chili head.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, well,
we're gonna watch tomorrow night and get it out sooner. We have more time this week.
Yes, and until next week, remember that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, or the one.
Okay.
Broken part of me, and this troubled so hard, and this washed up way of living since we've been apart.